Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Hey, I'm just a nobody, you know what I'm talking about? A nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody. Y'all old heads know what I'm talking about. Check me out. Let's go. Hell is hot. But heaven is paradise. Jesus told me obedience is better than sacrifice. But people hard-headed and deaf, they ain't listening. In order to see the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. Look at your watch, it's time to change your mind. Second riches in heaven, you can say I'm on my grind. But the devil can't stop me, I resist and watch you sleep. Bring everything you got, so whether it be nothing to me. Cause I got God on my side, the first lady in my ride. I took the word from the booth, pulpit, and the prayer line. And I still shine, but now my life's over. Right. I lifted his name and I took flight overnight. Now I write him down, put him on the track and let y'all run with him. I'm having vision at the vision, and I'm gonna get him, and I'm gonna live him. I'm walking the word and looking to my future. My whole past is a flush. So listen, here we go again. I got my pad and my pen. I repented of all my sins. Start fresh again, again. I'm like Khaled in the choir, boy. All I do is win. Blessings raining in my life, boy. All I do is grin. Everlasting, omnipotent. That's the God I serve. Loving and forgiving, that's the God I serve. I'm just trying to tell y'all about the God I serve. And if you know like I know, you'll be the God you serve. I'm just a nobody. I'm trying to tell everybody about somebody. Who can save anybody, save anybody. I'm just a nobody. I'm trying to tell everybody about somebody.
What can he do?
Who can save anybody. In the world, they gon' hate me now. I got the flow to make your favorite rapper retire. And I'm being led by the spirit. When I fit it, y'all feel it. And you know that I'm the real. You getting chills when you hear this. I rep the most high. I'm blessed, that's no lie. Two angels by my sides at all times, and they both fly. Say what? They both fly. You get it? They both fly. Two angels by my sides at all times, and they both fly. Yeah. He my shepherd, I don't want for nothing. I fell off, came back, and I ain't never stopped studying. He been calling my name, I just had to stop running. I'm just telling y'all, repent, the day of the Lord is coming. Yeah, you're living wrong, you better get it right. Cause he coming back, like a thief in the night. You don't know the day, you don't know the hour. But I'm on that empire, it ain't about the money, it's about the power. And there's power in the name of Jesus. Time to go to work, cause it's harvest season. Bring your burdens and cares to the throne. And leave him, cause he cares for you. That's the whole reason. Everlasting, omnipotent, that's the God I serve. Loving and forgiving, that's the God I serve. And I'm just trying to tell y'all about the God I serve. And if you know like I know, you'll be the God you serve. I'm just a nobody. I'm trying to tell everybody about somebody. Who can save anybody, save anybody. I'm just a nobody.
Y'all know what the business is. We got that word. Yeah, this is for nobody. Trying to tell somebody about everybody. Check it out. It's the Black Panther Preacher. We here live on Blog Talk Radio with our new segment, Monday Nights. We got that word with yours truly, the Black Prince of Preachers. Blessing to be on the line tonight. Thank God for everybody that's tuned in, listening to the recording out there. Praise God. If you're about to call in, we thank God for you. And we're going to take y'all back. Praise God, way back in the time, amen, to 7/15/18, July 15th, 2018, about 2 weeks after we got here to Arlington, Texas. Praise God, hallelujah, this was the first sermon I did, amen, at Care Church Incorporated, hallelujah, amen, praise God. The tables are turned, hallelujah, but I'm still sitting at them, praise God, hallelujah. So y'all check it out, amen, and we'll be back. Right after the message, praise God.
Amen. Let's give the Lord another hand of praise.
Amen.
I just want to thank God. You know, when we talk about sowing and reaping, gifts and surprises, all of those things. But I've been being, people have been blessing me here lately, you know. I some people call me to go to work, and I tell them, I don't think I feel like it.
That's a good thing.
Praise God. But then somebody will come by and, you know, put $100 in my hand or something like that, or somebody just come by and just drop some money on me. And lately I've just been, haven't had to go to work in a month or two, you know, and still been doing the same thing, you know, spending money, you know, like giving to feed people, stuff like that. And then sometimes people just be coming around just blessing me lately.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. You know what I'm talking about? That's what I'm talking about. Is what you build up in your beginning will be what you receive in your end.
Amen. Amen.
And so it's time to start building now. I remember Pastor Corey would say, if you don't put nothing in, you can't get nothing out. But it's another way she used to put it. But putting
whatever,
it in.
Whatever you plant is coming up.
Yeah.
So if you got a whole thing of corn and you don't plant it, you're going to have nothing but that. If you plant,
amen.
And go into your future.
Yeah.
Back to
amen. And so we need to start sowing into your future.
Yes.
Each time you give now, whatever you give, you're sowing into your future.
You learn how to become a gift of giving.
Yeah. If it don't be even in anything, you're always sowing into your future.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
If you're young and don't educate yourself now, you're going to be making $10 an hour later. And then you blame it on somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
But if you didn't take time to sow into your present for your future. So if it works all the way down, amen?
Yes.
And so if we don't do nothing now, you haven't put up anything for the future, amen?
Amen.
If you don't accept Jesus now, you won't have nothing for the future.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything is now unto then,
yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
And so let's all start sowing so you can have something later on. Mm-hmm. And so now if you've been sowing, you don't know why people give it to you, but bless you, but people bless you that don't even know you.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been wondering, well, here, man, here's $20. Here. Don't pay for your food. Here. You know, and then you'll
that's God, amen.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's learn that. That's going to be a lesson, amen. What you do now is going to be your return later. You know, it's kind of like Social Security. If you don't put no Social Security in, you ain't going to draw none later on.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have nothing to draw. Praise God. So let's learn that as a given thing. God would always give it back to you somehow. Amen.
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 Well, today, you know, I'm not going to minister today. We have Bishop Andre
Prevost.
Prevost. It's a two. Is it Andre?
Yeah, well, one's an elder, one's a bishop.
All right. We've got Elder Prevost, amen. Praise God. He's going to give a word for us today. He's come up from Houston to be with us. And we want he and his wife. And I thank God for he and his wife coming up from Houston to be part of us. Amen.
Amen.
And so I just praise God for that. I'm saying God is working. I said, God's going to send some people here to help him all the time. Amen. I don't care how he does it, he's going to do it. And I've got my faith built that God is going to do it. Amen.
Amen.
And the gainsayers, then God's going to say, it's what I've done, and now you yourself. Amen.
Amen.
So then, Brother Andre Prevost, Elder, we call him Bishop Andre Prevost, he can come up and give a word, and his wife, you know a man with name?
Aisha.
Aisha Prevost, amen. Both here. Y'all have to tell me your name sometimes because I could be around you 15 years. Or has it been 20? She's been around us over 20 years and I still get her name wrong.
And so I said, just answer when I say something. That's what I'm saying, bro. But Bishop Prevost, amen. He don't care. He does the Care Radio Network, amen. Care Radio Network. And so y'all need to listen in some night. Amen. Praise
amen.
God.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God, praise God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just want to thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come together right now in your name, Lord. We want to ask that you allow all of us to decrease today, Lord, so that you can increase. Allow me to sit down, Lord, so that you can stand up. Simply just use me, Lord, as your instrument of instruction on this morning. And Lord, we praise you and we magnify your holy name, for you are truly worthy to be praised, you're worthy to be magnified, and you're worthy to be lifted up. And we pray these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord on this morning. It's truly a blessing once again to be in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. A blessing to be amongst the saints. Amen. It's a blessing to know that God is here today.
Amen.
Praise God. And I know God is here today because he said in his word that when two or more come together in his name, that he will be in the midst, that he will be in the middle. And if we are to believe what the word of God tells us, we ought to believe every word that's in this book. Praise God. As the Bishop Missing, praise God, we have the radio ministry, and we call the radio ministry, it's uncensored. Praise God. And I always tell people, that don't mean you're going to hear some cussing. Or what you might think is cussing. You might hear that, what you might think is cussing. Praise God, hallelujah. But really what uncensored means is it's the true and unadulterated word of the living God. It's not watered down. It's not sugar-coated. See, what we have to understand about the word of God is medicine to our souls. It's medicine to our spirits. And when you go to the doctor gives you some medicine. Amen. Sometimes the medicine is thick. Sometimes it's bitter. The medicine is bitter. Praise God. And in some institutions, religious institutions today, they take the word of God and they water it down. Amen. It's not as thick as it should be, or they sugarcoat it. Amen. So it won't be as bitter. Praise God. But sometimes the word of God is thick. Sometimes the word of God is bitter. We've all been to the hospital and the doctor has given us a pill that was too thick. Oh, how am I gonna swallow that big old pill? I don't know how I'm gonna get that down. Praise God. But if I were to change the chemical concept of this pill, of this medicine, it won't have the effect that it should have.
Amen.
In some cases, when you mix with the chemical composition, it actually makes it worse. Amen. When you tamper with, amen, the chemical composition of that medicine, the same thing goes with the Word of God. When you tamper with the Word of God, amen, it decreases the effect it should have. That's why we see so many people in mega churches, amen, and they're prospering in one area, but they're dying in another. They're alive in one area, but they're dead in another area because they're being given watered down word. Praise God. And that's just the truth. It's watered down. Hallelujah. Amen. And I would tell somebody on the street, it's not that dope you used to, you know, that cheap dope. Hallelujah. That dope that's cut up, stepped on. That's how we say it in the streets. Amen. That's how we got to talk to them out there so they can get the understanding of what we're saying. Praise God. Because everybody don't go to the doctor and take medicine. Praise God. Everybody don't come to church and hear the word of God and know the difference between a watered down word and sugar coated word and the true, authentic word of God. Amen. So we say it's uncensored, hallelujah, because it's the truth. Amen. The Bible says the truth will make you free. See, it's a difference between being free and between being free indeed. Praise God, because you can be free. In other words, I, like you mentioned, there was a man that was on the run for 2 years. He was free. Mm-hmm. He wasn't in prison, but he wasn't free indeed because people were still looking for him. Mm-hmm. Amen. So when we come to Christ, amen, with the truth makes us free indeed. In other words, I ain't got to worry about nobody coming up after me. I ain't got to worry about rumors and stuff like this coming behind me, chasing me down. Praise God, because I'm free indeed, because the truth has made me free.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. And I was reading this a couple years ago, Amen. And I noticed something about the scripture. I was studying the resurrection. I was doing something for Easter, and I was studying the resurrection of Christ. Amen. And I noticed something that it says in St. John chapter 20, verse 1, the first day of the week, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the tomb, and she seeing the stone taketh away from the tomb. Praise God. And it's caught my attention, praise God, because Mary Magdalene, I had a misconception growing up that Mary Magdalene had some kind of faith that the other disciples didn't have. Praise God. That when she went to the tomb, she actually was going to see Jesus, that she believed that he had risen from the grave. Praise God, as he's predicted, as he said in many scriptures before. But then I come to find out, she went down there to prepare the body. She bought some oils, amen, some incense. She was expecting the body to be in the same condition that they left it in. Mm-hmm. Praise God, hallelujah. But when she arrived, she seen, this ain't the way we left it. The stone's been moved away. Praise God, and a lot of us, we have to understand that our lives, they mirror Christ. Because we said, we took on his name, we are Christians, we're going to have to suffer. We're going to have to go through something, but that don't mean we got to stay in it, because we supposed to go through it, not stay in it. Mm-hmm. Praise God. But a lot of us, we do this mentally. We go through it, and instead of continuing through the suffering and continuing through whatever trials and tribulations come our way, we stay stuck in it mentally. Mm-hmm. Praise God. We could physically be already out of the situation. Amen. We done already got that divorce. Praise God. We've been and left that old job. Hallelujah. We don't even go to that church no more, but mentally we still stuck in that suffering process. Praise God. And People come and expect you to be stuck in the same thing they left you in. You ever not seen somebody for a while, and they when they do finally see you again, they expect you to be in the same predicament or the same situation you were in the last time I saw you? And that's what Mary Magdalene was basically doing. She was going to see Jesus, but she was going expecting him to be in the same situation, the same circumstances, she was expecting him to be in the same position that he was in the last time I saw you. The last time I saw you, you were wrapped in dead clothes. The last time I saw you, you were in the tomb. The last time I saw you, you were broke. The last time I saw you, you were in a storefront. Praise God. The last time I saw you, you were staying in an apartment. The last time I saw you, you were staying with somebody else. The last time I saw you, you were walking. Amen. And now that I've come to see you, amen, and I've actually come to help you out. I come to help make your life a little better, because I'm really expecting to find you the same way and in the same position and in the same place that I left you in. But when Mary Magdalene arrives at the tomb, she noticed, this ain't the way I left it. Praise God. And I began to realize something about everything, that nothing really changed. Amen. I'm not saying that nothing changed as far as we didn't get salvation and Jesus didn't rise with the power in the hand. I mean, everything that was going on around Jesus was still going on once he rose from the grave. They were still talking about him. He was still the number one enemy of the state. They still wanted to know, well, if he is still alive, we need to fight him again and kill him again. Amen. Because he is still a threat. Ain't nothing changed. The disciples still don't believe. They still doubt. Praise God. After he done said everything that he said I was gonna do, it has come to pass. Y'all have seen it. Each and every time y'all seen it, y'all say, "Ooh, that truly is the Son of God right there." And then I do another miracle. There you go. "Ooh, you truly are the Son of God." And here it is again. I said, "Hey, I'm going to tear this temple down, and in 3 days I'm going to raise it back up." Mm-hmm. And then it's the third day, and they still don't believe. They're not coming down there to see the stone rolled away. See, they should have been going down there expecting to see the door open. Mm-hmm. But instead, she went down there, amen, expecting to see the stone still in front of the tomb. And then she gets down there. It's the first day of the week, which is Sunday morning. Amen. And the stone's been rolled away. And she can't believe it. So the Bible says in verse 2, then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we know not where they have laid them. Now, if you come back to a place, amen, say you last time you saw somebody, they was doing real bad, they was in an apartment or and they was behind on their rent, you go to their apartment to see if they okay and they not living there no more, instead of you assuming, well, maybe God has blessed them. Maybe Jesus opened up the windows of heaven, poured out a blessing, they have room enough to receive. Maybe they got a house now. Instead, they assume maybe they're homeless. They done lost everything. They done lost everything. And you run back and you tell people that I went back, amen, and I didn't see his wife then. Maybe they got a divorce. I don't know. Praise God. I didn't see the children there. Maybe they finally put them kids out. Them kids was bad. Praise God. They assume the worst. When the last time you probably saw them, that person probably said, hey, I trust God. My marriage is going to get better. Hey, I trust God. My health is going to get better. My living situation is going to get better. My mind and my soul going to get better. I trust God that it's going to get better. But instead of you believing, well, maybe it got better, you just naturally assume it got worse, and you go tell other people it got worse. Praise God. And then they go running to see, I want to see what you see. That's what people do. Amen. They want to, that's how they get on the phone, they gossip about you, they talk about you. Blessing to see y'all, so blessing to see you. As soon as they, girl, let me tell you, they came to church today, girl, and they look like, I don't know where they got it from. They done lying and stealing from somebody. I don't know. Praise God. That's what they do. Well, that's what we do. We get together and we talk, and we say we not gossiping, but we only saying that to point out the fact that we gossiping, but don't let nobody know we gossiping. Praise God. We not gossiping. We just, you know, brother and sister talking about what happened in church today. Can we not do that? Praise God. Hallelujah. But the truth is, that's what we're doing. Amen. Praise God. Guilty as charged. Hallelujah. And what I like, we know John wrote this book. We know John is the other disciple. Well, we theologians and scholars, they say, hey, that's the other disciple is John. Notice the people always say, you know, they try to discredit the Bible and say it has a human factor to it. Man wrote it. But you can see, if you really look for the human factor, you can see the human factor. Now that's Peter. I'm John. You know, this ain't about me, but I'm going to say Peter ran down there to the scepter. She came and told Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved. That's a human factor right there, because I'm writing it. I'm not using my name. But I'm saying I'm the other disciple whom Jesus loved. Praise God. When we read 4, they say, then Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple came. And they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter. I got there first. I'm not going to say it like that, because this ain't about me. But I'm going to say the one who Jesus loved, he got there first. But see, even the human aspect does not affect the outcome of this scripture, because when they both, it don't matter who got there first, Jesus still wasn't there. They were still looking for him, and they couldn't find him. And when we drop down to verse 8, it says, hallelujah, verse 10, it says, then the disciples went away again to their own home. So that the disciple, the Peter and the other disciple, they had left. And Mary was still there crying and weeping, because this person ain't where I left them, and I don't know where they at. I don't know if somebody done took them. Amen. I don't know what's done happened, and that's what happens in our lives. Have you ever went looking for somebody and you ain't know where they were? You automatically thought the worst, and you became concerned about that person. Praise God. But you cared so much about that person that you looked until you found out what happened to this person, and sometimes we might be finding out that we're looking in the wrong place. That's the only reason why we can't find them. One scripture said, why are you looking for the living among the dead? I have elevated them from one level to another level. Amen. But you're still looking on the on the same level that they were on the last time you saw them. Praise God. Amen. And that's going to take place with a lot of people in here in our lives. People are going to come looking for us on one level when God has already elevated to us to another level. They're going to be surprised to see, amen, that when they come to 2501 Centennial, that Tell Church may not be here no more, but it might be in that big building across the street. I'm just hypothetically speaking, amen. You could buy that building across the street. God is capable of doing anything. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm looking for it over here, but I turn around and it's over there. Wait, you can't come over here yet, though, because we still remodeling. Praise God. That's what Jesus said. Wait, you can't touch me yet. I have not yet ascended. Hallelujah to my Father. There's still some things going on. Praise God. Hallelujah. But I'm getting a little bit ahead. Hallelujah. But Jesus saw her weeping. Jesus was right there. Hallelujah. But she assumed that he was a gardener. Amen. Why did she assume? I know. Don't you know how Jesus looked? Hallelujah. Been walking with him 3.5 years. Amen. Maybe longer. And you don't know how he looked. Praise God. The problem is he didn't look. Not only is he not where he was when you left him, he don't look like he looked when you left him. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Because when you left him, the only thing that was, they say they beat the skin off of him. Mm-hmm. That the only thing that was left on the body of Jesus was the blood of Jesus. They say they disfigured his jaw, his eyes was out of his socket. They had pulled out, amen, his joints out of place. They had put a crown of thorns around his head and pushed it in, so where now there are holes in his head, digging into his head, blood streaming down. All that should be dried up on him. He should look a horrible mess right now. Even if he was alive, how would he look? But he didn't look like he did when they left him. So since she is looking at him and didn't realize that's him, because you're not supposed to be looking as good as you're looking right now. Not the way I left you. The way I left you, amen, the way I left that marriage, amen, last time I seen y'all too, y'all should be, I don't know, in divorce court right now. I should have seen y'all on Judge Tola already, praise God. Hallelujah. The way I left you, I should have seen your kids on Scared Straight already. Praise God, amen. But you're not looking the way you looked when I left you. You're not talking the way you talked when I left you. Praise God, and you're not in the place where I left you at. God has elevated you. Praise God, hallelujah. And the thing about hallelujah, see, this is our part right here. This is because I studied the Lord's divinity as well as his humanity. As us following in God's footsteps, we're going to have to, the Bible says, suffer for a little while. Praise God. And I mentioned earlier about mentally staying in that suffering stage. And how long? Yeah, we're going to have to suffer. Jesus suffered. I just described how he looked, but he didn't stay there. Amen. The tomb was rolled away. It was up for him to walk out of the tomb. Praise God. But some of us don't realize that that tomb has been rolled, the stone has been rolled away, and we're just sitting there. Amen, praise God, stuck in our situation, stuck in our tomb. Amen, when the Lord is saying, I have already suffered for you. When he died, before he died, he said something. He said, it's finished. It's finished means it's done. Amen, the tomb has already been rolled away. Amen, all you have to do is come forth. Remember he told Lazarus, come forth. Now, what if Lazarus would have just sat there and said, I can't come forth, I'm dead, I'm stuck in the situation I'm in. And you're telling me to walk out of this when I'm dead. But this is all going on in our heads. We're not physically dead. Amen. But our finances may be dead. And, well, hey, look, I'm in this rut and I'm just stuck in it. I'm just going, this is just the way it's going to be. Praise God. The ministries. Amen. I tell people all the time, you think your ministry started off like this, the Bible says your latter day will be greater than your former day, but you got to stick with it and watch it grow. Praise God, amen. But some of us settle, and when we settle, we just sit there. We don't get up, even though the stone's been rolled away, and all we got to do is walk out of it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Like watching Divorce Court. I love watching Divorce Court because people been married 15, 20 years and I was watching one and the wife said, well, he left one night. He was gone at 2:00 in the morning, and it turns out he was with another woman. He was cheating. And the judge told us, said, well, when did this happen? This happened about 6 months after we got married. Wait a minute. Y'all been married 15 years already. And you still stuck. You never walked out of the tomb. Praise God. Some of our children have grown up to be active members in society, but we still see them little bad children that gave us hell when they was in school. Praise God, but we can't look and see that they've excelled from that. Praise God. We can't look at our husbands and wives and see that they're on a different level because we still remember what they did. So we're still stuck there instead of walking out. Praise God. And the thing about it, didn't nothing really change in Jesus' life? They still doubted because that's the whole reason why y'all here. Y'all didn't doubt I was going to get up. Praise God. I done walked through a wall. And here come Thomas like, nah, I just don't see it. I just don't believe it. Now you're looking at me, and you see the holes in my hands, but they're still not good enough. Now you gotta feel it. I gotta feel it for myself. I gotta feel the tangibility of it myself. Praise God. I gotta see the papers on that house to make sure that's your house. Praise God. I gotta see the marriage license. I want to make sure y'all married because y'all could be shacking now. So I need to see the marriage license. Y'all say y'all ran away and did this. Praise God. You say, amen, you didn't know nobody in that college to get your child into that school or get your child that job. We just doubt what we see. Praise God. And the Bible says we don't go by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Praise God. But when you look at it, we don't walk by faith or sight because we don't believe what God said he was going to do, and we don't believe what we actually seen God do. Praise God. They seen him walk on the water. Now, if you can walk on water, you can't come back from the grave. Praise God. If you seen people overcome when they was out there in the world, amen, one day I was down, next day I was back up. I got back up on my game. Praise God. But now that I'm saved, you think I'm just down and out for the count. Praise God. But if you believe what the word of God say, he say, I rose. Praise God. Hallelujah. What did he rise? He rose above, amen, a way of thinking. Praise God. He rose above it because the stuff around me not going to change. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's not going to change. If I have a problem with my wife ain't going to change whatever problem I have until she getting ready to change that if she ever think it's really a problem. So I can't change her. I can only change me. The same thing with me. She can't change me, praise God, but she can change her. Amen. Meaning that's just, you ever met somebody? That's just the way he is, child. Gone. He ain't going, that's just the way he is. Amen. And they're not excusing the way they are. They're saying, I can't do nothing about it. Amen. See, when we rise above their way of thinking, I can't do nothing about the high priest not liking me. I can't do nothing about the fact that Sunday when I was coming into the town, y'all was screaming Hosanna and oh Lord, we love you, and y'all waving palms, and then four, 5 days later, y'all standing up there talking about crucifying. Y'all just said y'all loved me when I got here, and now y'all want to kill me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yo, I couldn't wait. When I got the job, you couldn't wait for me to start and all this other stuff. Now I got the job and you treat me like crap on the job. Now I wish I never would have got the job. Hallelujah. When he came into the town, they loved him, but amen. After 4 days, they was ready to kill him. Praise God. Crucify him. See, this stuff didn't change in Jesus' life. Nothing changed in Jesus' life. Praise God. He walking with them. Now, what happened now? Well, you ain't hear about what happened. They killed him. They killed who? They killed Jesus. What? They did. Praise God. Hallelujah. But he says, I've risen above all that. Amen. And that's what we have to do. We have to rise above it. Because it's not going to change. We waiting on everybody. We wait. Well, how long are we going to wait on Donald Trump to change? Praise God. How long are we going to wait on the boss at the job to change? Praise God. Hallelujah. How long are we going to wait on we waiting on stuff to change. Praise God. Amen. But God is waiting on you to change. He's waiting on us to change. Praise God, because once we change, then we can walk around like Jesus did. He walked around so many undeniable proofs. Hallelujah. Yeah, I went through, but I done rose above all of that. Amen. I done rose above y'all killing me, y'all talking about me, y'all mocking me, y'all spitting on me. Ain't nothing that changed. They looking for me right now. Ain't nothing changed. Praise God. But I have risen above it. I've risen above it so much that they can't get to me. I've risen above it so much that, Thomas, you can't get to me. Hallelujah. Now, you got to admit, amen, that's why I say I like to study the humanity of Jesus. If you was walking around with somebody like Thomas, wouldn't he get on your nerves? Everything I do, you doubt. Praise God. Hallelujah. It was some kind of camera trick. I don't know how he did it. It was some kind of camera trick. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. All I did was speak the word of God, and it came to pass. Praise God. But people don't want to believe it. Amen. When God starts, I have a friend in California. We always like talking about Illuminati and stuff like this. And he's always talking about, well, Steve Harvey got to be an Illuminati. He just got too much money. He got too many TV shows. I say, just because he's blessed, he's got to be in the Illuminati. God could not have just blessed this man. Praise God. And I say, if you keep talking like that, when God begins to bless you, guess what? You're going to look on YouTube and they go, oh, my Minister Ray is in the Illuminati. 10 things in his sermon that points that out. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm a gospel rapper also. I told him, I say, somebody can take one of my songs and pick it apart so quick and say, look, Illuminati right there. He's one of them enlightened ones. You got to watch him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because that's what people can't accept what God does. So when Jesus rose from the grave, amen, the first thought that everybody went to is somebody stole the body. The disciples were saying the Romans stole it. The Romans were saying, amen, that the disciples stole it. Everybody was saying the Jews stole it. The Gentiles stole it. Somebody stole it. Praise God. They never thought, well, maybe he just rose. Nah. I can see them thinking about it for a second. Maybe, well, nah, not even Peter and them believe this. He had to walk in on them, and that be the problem with us. Praise God. Amen. Because when we drop down to verse 19, it says, the same day, that evening being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto them. Hallelujah. Now, this is where it applies to us, the disciples. Praise God, because we as disciples, it's the first day of the week. Hallelujah. We go through this every week. Every Sunday we come to church. Praise God. And what did Mary Magdalene do in the previous verse? Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, in every church across the country, what do the pastor do every Sunday morning? He come and says, I've seen the Lord. He's spoken to me and told me to tell you these things. Praise God. And we hear what the pastor then said. Amen. Whether it be a male or a female, or whether it be a child, whether it came through a song. Well, however the word came, we heard the word. But on that same day, the Bible says they were in a room with the door shut in fear. Praise God. A lot of us do that. We come to church on Sunday morning. The pastor will preach a good word. I don't care, amen, if it's Creflo or TD or Page. Amen. Praise God. We hear the word. We shout. We run around. Run around the church of God in Christ. I was ready. They get up and just start running for no reason. Run around the church. Praise God. But then that same evening, they locked inside. Even though they done heard the word of God. But they locked inside because it's real easy to be in the spirit while we in the church. Mm-hmm. Praise God. It's real easy to listen to the pastor and say amen. Praise God when we in the church. But what are we doing later on that day? Mm-hmm. Praise God. What mindset are we in later on that day? Praise God. Because just like Jesus' rose, have we risen? Praise God. Are we still stuck in our same mindsets and we stay locked in the house? In fear. Some people are scared. You know, some people are scared to go outside. They say the best way for me to stay out of trouble is for me to stay in the house. If I stay in the house, I'll stay out of trouble. Praise God, because somebody might look at me the wrong way, and I end up cussing them out. Praise God, then I got to go repent about that. Amen. Or some woman might pass by, and she might catch my eye, and I might happen to look with adultery in my eye, and here we go. Praise God, it's best that I just stay in the house. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Hallelujah. But the Lord told me, and I'm getting ready to wrap this up, because the Lord told me it's all about the power of confession. Amen. The James 5 and 16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And that word may in the original Greek translation don't mean like we say may, like it might happen. That word may means to have it to be allowed to be healed. It has to be allowed to be healed. And he says the confession, amen, is what helps us to be healed. See, we can't hold stuff in. Praise God. Just like we have to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. The power of that confession gives us salvation. And so the power of us saying, hey, I need you to pray for me in this area. I need you to pray for me in that area. Praise God. But the problem with our confession is something like what I was saying earlier. Praise God. We don't want to confess because, you know, church people like to gossip. Praise God. Hallelujah. And certain people can't confess. I was telling Minister Ray, you can't go in church and confess. You know, I used to be a homemonger and a womanizer because then husbands will start holding on to their wives' hand. Well, you ain't going by him. A woman can't get up and testify. I used to be out there. I would give it up to any guy. No, come here, honey. Come here. You need to sit right here. Don't you go nowhere. Don't go nowhere near the new sister. No. Praise God. And because we make those confessions, people look at us through our confessions. Look at us through the sins we have committed. But the sin does not define who we are. Hallelujah. It just says that we slipped up. It just defines what we did. It does not define who we are. Remember when Jacob was born, even though the angel had told his mama, look, you are pregnant with two nations. Amen. And the younger one going to serve the older one's going to end up serving the younger one. And these going to be two mighty nations. Praise God. But instead of giving them a name of power, they call Jacob a heel. Jacob means heel because of something he did before he was, literally, before he was even born. And he lived up to being a heel. He began to hustle this person and hustle that person. Amen. He got real prominent off of doing stuff the wrong way. Amen. Hustling and swindling and shysting and lying and manipulating. That's how he came up. Praise God. But he only did that because he was labeled a heel from when he was born. Praise God. Hallelujah. And a lot of us live up to those labels. That somebody, you kissed the boy when you was 12. She fast. So she became fast. Praise God. Both of them little girls like him. He a little player. Oh, I'm a little player. Okay, so I'm going to be a little player because that's what we were labeled. Praise God. But the Bible tells us that we are children of the Most High God. And when we know who we are in Christ, who God thinks we are, it don't matter who you think I am. Your thoughts really, we think our thoughts count. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Hallelujah. But our thoughts don't count. Amen. What counts is what God thinks about us. And God says, whether you are Jew or Gentile, male or female, slave or enslaved, you are a child of the Most High God. And if you know that you are a child of the Most High God, then everything else falls in line. Once you change your mind with that, praise God, and you realize who you are, amen, then everything else changes. That's the whole point of repentance. If we say you need to repent, you need to turn from your wicked ways, but before I can turn from my wicked ways, I first have to change my mind about my wicked ways. Praise God. You know, when I say change your mind about your wicked ways, somebody might say, well, he got 3-4 women. He should know that's wrong. But if he was raised in an environment where daddy had mama and he had a baby mama and he had a side chick, and this is my only example of what a man is, then this is what I think a man is supposed to do. And then you tell him in scriptures, hey, look, Jacob had two women. Solomon, he had 1,000 women. Praise God. Hallelujah. So this is where my mindset is. So I don't know that it's wrong because nobody has ever told me it was wrong. Praise God. And we just assume they know what they're doing is wrong. Amen. Because you know that it's wrong don't mean they know it's wrong. Praise God. There's a lot of stuff we do, we was doing that was wrong, and we found out as we was going along that this was wrong. Praise God. And we had to repent right then and there. Praise God. That's why Jesus said, I know what you've been told, but what do I tell you to do? I know you've been told that if Bishop Page, if he hit you, to hit him back 2-4, 2-5, 4-9, but I say if he hits you, turn the other cheek. What? Praise God. Hallelujah. That's not what I was taught. Praise God. I always say all the time, I was confused growing up as a child because I go to church and I heard that scripture, turn the other cheek. And then I get in a fight at school, and before my parents, uncles, aunts, before they ask me what the fight was about or anything like that, the first thing they want to know is, did you win? Did you win? But I thought I was supposed to turn the other cheek. Boy, you better learn how to fight. And my grandma even told me, if you get suspended for fighting, you better have won that fight. That's the only way you ain't going to get in trouble is if you win. I'm confused. Praise God. And we have confused our children just like Jacob was confused. We have confused our children with the Easter Bunny and the Tooth Fairy and Santa Claus. Praise God, because that's what we teach our children. There's a fairy that brings you money when you lose your teeth. Praise God. But if you ask Grandpa, I tell you, no, it ain't no fairy. I done lost all my teeth, and I had to pay to get more teeth, and ain't nobody reimbursed me for those teeth. Praise God. There are teachers that a bunny lays eggs on Easter, and we got to go find the eggs that they done laid. Then you grow up and find out bunnies can't even lay eggs. Chickens lay eggs. Praise God. They tell us that there's a man that looked like he weighed 500 pounds, and he got a sleigh that with flying reindeer that don't have wings. They ain't got no wings, but they fly. Praise God. And he bring us gifts every Christmas. He come down the chimney, even if you ain't got no chimney, you stay in an apartment. Amen. Praise God. But he comes down the chimney. Amen. And then on top of that, you tell me there was a man that came and he died for my sins, that he took all my sins away, and that I don't have to worry about sin in my life no more. And then slowly you start telling me, well, the Tooth Fairy ain't real, but the Easter Bunny ain't real, Santa Claus ain't real, but Jesus is real. But you expect me to believe the most unbelievable story now, after you have raised me to believe that all these other fictional characters was real. I have grouped Jesus in with Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny, and the Tooth Fairy, and now you're telling me, praise God, that Jesus is real. He died, and he came back to life. 3 days later, he died, and he came back to life, and you expect me to believe that. Praise God. And I went through a period in my 20s where I was like, I just don't. That now it just don't make no sense no more. Praise God. But that's all because that's a generational curse that the devil has put into the world. Because to us, we just having fun with the kids. We just having fun. Amen. But it's more than just having fun with the children. It's teaching them the right thing. So later on, all you're doing is planting seeds. And you want to make sure each one of those crops has a harvest in that child. So when you have planted the seed of Christ, you cannot plant tare. Because then they're going to pull it out. Remember he said if you pull the tare up, you're going to kill the wheat? And the Tooth Fairy, Easter Bunny, Santa Claus, that's tare. And when you yank that up, you just yanked up Christ with it, because I done grouped them all together. Praise God. I done grouped them all together. Amen. So just to wrap it up for today, praise God, we have to be able to rise above the world. Everything that's going on in the world, we have to rise above it. Where everybody else teaches their kids about Santa Claus, but we have to rise above it. The Bible says we are in the world and we are not up, but we are not of the world. Once Jesus rose above everything, nothing nobody else was doing was having any effect on him. Up until he rose, everything had an effect. Praise God. He was being thrown out of synagogues because if he didn't get out, they was going to kill him right quick, but it wasn't his time, so he had to hurry up and get out. Amen. And they came to him in the garden. They kissed him. They beat him. They mocked him. All this was affecting him, but once he rose, nothing that anybody did in the world could ever affect him again because he had risen above it. And once we rise above it, amen, that's when we're going to start, that's people going to start talking, oh, they act like they don't care no more. I don't understand. I just told them so-and-so said this, and they ain't even reacting to it. They don't even care about it. I just told them they child, amen, I remember my ex-wife came to me and said, you know, your youngest daughter say she gay, right? I said, okay. So you're not going to, you are preaching, you're not going to, hey, praise God, hallelujah. Everything, the seeds have been planted, praise God, hallelujah. People go through phases. People forget when they was a teenager, all the stuff they did, amen, and thought their parents thought, oh, this one ain't going to make it, amen, but we made it. So why don't we have the same kind of faith in our children that our grandparents and our parents had in us once we rise above it and realize there's a cycle, amen. Teenagers going to be teenagers. People going to experiment. You're going to hear all kind of stuff, amen, before you get to where God wants you to be, amen, till you rise above what the world say. Praise God. That's the way once they like that, you ain't going to be able to get it off of them. Praise God. You can't pray the gay away and all this other kind of stuff. Praise God. You got to rise above everything that the world is saying.
Yeah.
Praise God. Because once we rise above it, no matter what's going on, praise God. Can't nobody tell you they saw your husband down, so I saw your husband. Good child, please. I ain't worried about what you... So you ain't going... No, because I'm going to rise above that, because that... You might have thought you saw his car, but when they made one Buick, they made two. They made 1,000. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And people are always looking to accuse you. The Bible says that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Hallelujah. So somebody's always accusing. So once you arise above all the accusations and rise above everything somebody is saying about you, you can go to work and know them people at work talking about you. You can go to church and know them people that... There she go. That's the one. Say she used to walk the corner, girl. She used to work that corner right down there. Praise God. Hallelujah. The men probably know, because remember, in the Bible, the men always... I wonder, do Jesus know what kind of woman this is? And every time I read that, I always wonder, how do you know what kind of woman this is? You're talking about Jesus. He must not be a prophet, because he don't know that she... But how you know? Praise God, what kind of woman this is. Praise God. Hallelujah. But the whole thing is, he has risen above it. Mary Magdalene had to rise above who she used to be, because they didn't want to... One scripture says, amen, and Peter said, why would Jesus appear to you? Why would he appear to you? You're a woman. Why he didn't appear to me? I was there. John was there. He could appear to one of us, but he appeared to you. If she wouldn't have rose above what they were saying, she couldn't have come and did what the Lord told her to do. And as men and women of God, especially if you in ministry or trying to get in, our life period is a ministry, praise God. And we have to rise above what's going on in the world for us to excel in Christ. Because unless we rise above that, we'll stay stagnant where we is. And it's like I say, it's mental. Once you rise above it mentally, you can know that she calling you out your name, and you can speak to her and tell her, God bless you, you have a blessed day. You can know that he plotting and revenge on you. You can tell him, hey, what you about to go do? Hurry up and do it. Hurry up or you change your mind now. Praise God. Do it quickly. Praise God. So let's begin to rise above our environment. And once we rise above it, then we can have that peace. He says, peace be unto you. Praise God. He says, I give you a peace, not the peace of the world, because the peace of the world, my wife got to be acting right, my kids got to be getting straight A's, amen, and ease and conduct, amen, I got to have a pocket full of money and a car and a house. That's the peace of the world. But if one of those things get out of line, then I'm jumping off of a building. I'm blowing my head off because I had the peace of the world, and now that I've lost one little piece of that peace, Now I got to blow my brains out. But when I have the peace of God, I can say the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. I can say that he must be testing me and trying me for something. I can say that all things are working together for my good because I love God and I called according to his purpose and he foreknew me. See, the rest of the scriptures say, for those that he foreknew and he predestined to conform to the image of Christ Jesus, meaning he knew me before and he has already predestined me to reach a certain destination in my life. That's why he told Jeremiah, you don't know the thoughts that I have towards you because you're too busy worried about the situation that you're going through where God must not love me because look what I'm going through. And not only that, you got some church people telling you God must not love you for what you're going through. Remember, that's how they did Job. I thought you was a good man, Job. Now look at what you're going through. But Job said, Job even told his wife, now you sound foolish. I was willing to put up with whatever you were saying, amen, about this, that, and the other, but now you're telling me about God? No, now you a foolish woman. And now I don't want to, I can't have nothing to do with nobody that's telling me to blaspheme God. He is my creator. He is my supply. Amen. He, and matter of fact, if you go somewhere, he'll supply me with another one of you. That's how God is. Praise God. Hallelujah. God, that's how God is. So I'm not so much worried about you. So I have risen. He rose above her. Amen. He's one of the only men in the Bible that rose above his spouse. Hallelujah. Praise God. Adam ate the fruit. Praise God. Samson was one of the, oh my God, he was one of the dumbest men of God in the Bible. Now, you see, just asking and poking, trying to find out where your strength is, and you finally tell her. Praise God. And now you're blinded and find yourself in a place. Praise God. Hallelujah. And it's, like I say, it's both ways. Amen. I done seen women not go. I'm not going to church this Sunday because he's not going. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Hallelujah. So if I go to hell, you going to go with me too? Praise God. So we have to be able to rise above that too. Praise God. Hallelujah. We have to be able to rise above everything because when we rise above it and we realize God is in control. Amen, that everything is predestined before the foundations of the world, that everything is going to work out for my good because I'm called according to his purpose, and if I just believe in him and seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, not my righteousness, praise God, his righteousness, because it's right to me to slap you back if you slap me. That's right to me. Praise God. And I know we Christians and we ain't going to say it, but it's right to you. If somebody slap you, you go, Jesus, have mercy, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. But your first instinct go, I had to catch myself. I almost slapped. Somebody just said something to you, I almost cussed you out. You just don't know. Praise God. Because that's right to me. That's why he says seek his righteousness and pray for those who spitefully use you. Amen. So we just got to rise above the world, rise above what the world is saying, and take on that peace of God. Because in the peace of God, I can lose this peace, that peace. I can lose all those pieces and still have the peace of God. Hallelujah. And I can walk around like Jesus did. Amen. After he rose again with doubt. And people still hating, and people still got unbelief, and people still arguing, did it happen? Is he real? Da da da. All that kept going, but he kept walking and said, you know what, I ain't worried about that. It's time for me to ascend to my Father. I am on another level of spirituality. I am on another level mentally that y'all can't reach me on. So I'm not worried about that. Praise God. People talk about Trump, but Trump, one of the few presidents that we have elected that was him. Hallelujah, he was him. And a lot of politicians, they mad. Because I had to change who I was to get this position. But you just went in there being who you are and actually won the election just being you. Hallelujah. And the Republicans and Democrats can say what they want. Well, I don't like his policies. I don't like that he's a womanizer. But you got every prostitute number in your phone book, Senator. Praise God. But you don't like this, that, and the other thing about Trump. Amen. But you really just mad because he was himself. A lot of ministers, they was mad at Joel. I went to Joel. We went to Joel church by 6 months. They mad at Joel because Joel just being Joel. Well, you don't huff, you don't puff, you don't even come. You halftime, you don't even come out of scripture. You come out of stuff happening in magazines and TV shows you done watch. He said, but that don't matter. You just mad because this man has the biggest congregation in the world being him, not conforming to the images of this world. So once we rise above it and be us, Amen. Just be, well, see, when you rise above it, you can just be you. You can be you, and once you are being you, and God can use, see, God can use you. He can't use who you're trying to be.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. He can't use who you're trying to be, but he can use you. So once you rise above what everybody else is thinking and just be you, then God can use you. And that purpose that God has in you can be fulfilled. It can come out because we have risen above the rest of the world and what the rest of the world is thinking. Praise God. So while we're talking about Trump, let's take a page, just that page, not all the pages, because we got to go through his book before we just take any page. Hallelujah. But that's with anybody. But this page here that Trump got, he was himself. He said what they asked him a question. He said something. 5 minutes later on the news, everybody, did you hear what Trump just said when they asked him that question? He gave, for lack of a better, they were still using all this political language. He said exactly what it was on his mind. He said exactly. He didn't give no. When we used to ask Obama a question, Obama would, well, I'm so glad you asked that question. And he dressed it up. And one time I watched it, I say, wait a minute. He never answered the question. Trump answered the question. We get mad. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. But at least he's being honest. So let's rise above what the world has to say about us, and let's just be who God created us to be, and then we can watch God use us in a mighty way. Praise God. Everybody have a good day.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. What a good word. Amen. Amen. We're going to rise above. Amen. We're trying to rise above. Amen. We're trying to rise above people. Rise above what everybody else is saying. Rise above what everybody else is doing. And be who God made us.
Amen.
And say the way you do it, the way God told you to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll do it the way God told me to do it. I'm not going to try to copy it after you.
Yeah.
I got to be me. Amen.
Amen.
So we need to be like that. So if someone today stuck in their mind, you know, he said, you're stuck. And normally when you're stuck, that's when you look like you're having problems because you're stuck on something. It shows up on your face. You can tell when people are stuck.
I've been
stuck.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. We thank God, amen, for that message. That was back on 7/15/18, July 15th. That was the first message I delivered from the pulpit at Care Church Incorporated. Praise God on today. Amen. We thank God for everybody that listened in to the first hour of We Got That Word. But guess what? It's not over. We got another hour coming up. Praise God. I believe this is my wife's message, First Lady, Issa Prevost. Amen.
Praise thank you, Lord, for your promises, Lord. You cannot lie. And I thank you for your promises, Lord.
Hallelujah.
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 All right. I'm going to turn back in the hand of our bishop and my husband, Mac Page.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Put your hands together. Put your hands together. Is because of his promises. We know that all of God's promises are yes and amen and amen. And if God has already said it, that means it has already been done. It has already been accomplished. Even though you may not have seen the manifestation of it, but it's still so because he said it. Amen.
Amen.
You just got to accept it. Amen.
Right.
And believe it. Amen. This is what faith is all about. Believing that God has said it and that God will do what he said. And we can rest and have our assurance on what he has said.
Amen.
That's all we got to go on, what he has said, amen.
Amen.
He sent the Holy Spirit, amen, to confirm what he said. But he wants us to have comfort in what he said, amen.
Amen.
And if he said he's going to take care of you, he's going to take care of you.
Amen.
I like it. It might not, sometimes when things goes around, it don't look like it's going to happen.
But nevertheless, it's still going to come to pass like you said, no matter what it looks like. Amen?
Amen.
And that's why we have to be people of faith, amen, to believe what God has said. No matter what bad things have taken place, no matter what kind of a situation that has taken place in your life, that we can still rest on what he has said, because that's all we have to hold on to. Amen?
Amen.
And so let's just be confident and have faith in what he said. Amen.
Amen.
Stop looking at the little things that's going bad sometimes. It don't look good. But you're confident that he's going to get you there. Amen.
Amen.
Now, no matter, sometimes he has to take a detour.
Mm-hmm.
But God promised he's going to get you there. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so God always writes his blueprints before he builds the building.
Yes, Lord.
All right.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. You are the blueprint.
Amen.
He's just building the building. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
He's putting us all fitly joining together. We're coming together because of the blueprint. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Because if you put the wrong board in the wrong place, the building is not going to be fit to join together. Amen.
Right.
But there's a board out of place. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But wherever God has you in the body, He put you in the right place. He knows where you belong. Amen.
Amen.
And you just got to accept where God has put you. Amen.
Mm, come on.
Praise
now.
God. Amen. And that's what I like today. Before God put Adam, he made a garden before he put the man in there.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And he put everything in the garden that the man would need.
Yes. Indeed.
And he put everything in the man that the man ever would need. But before he put him in the garden, everything was already there. All the trees was there. All the ripe fruit was there. Everything that God intended for man to have, it all was in place. When he put man there, that meant everything there was me. Now, 1 Peter says that God has given us all things that pertain life to life.
No.
shine your light.